So I'm just here waiting for Katie Stokes to log in. So this is an interview with the biomechanics coach while we are on lockdown. I thought it was a great opportunity to start to get some information from these amazing professionals that I've had the luxury of working with, being in a classroom with. And Katie Stokes is a lady who she's gone on and done further education with other professionals that and education providers that I certainly recommend, Mike Grice. But I thought she'd be a really interesting person to talk to. And then I'm going to be speaking to Mike Grice after this. So there will be a subsequent video that will be up on the YouTube channel, so you can watch that back as well. So Katie's in already here. So how are you doing? We are recording. Just so that you know. So I've just done a little intro.
Hello?
Okay, I can hear you as well. So I was just doing a little brief intro, and the idea that what we can do on these interviews is really have interesting professional discussions about the industry, about being an exercise professional, a therapist, whatever it is you do. So I'm going to go through a few questions if that's all right with you. I know I sent a few through to you, but if we start off with a little bit of an introduction as to who you are, your profession, and how you're coping with this lockdown.
So I am a personal trainer, biomechanics coach, obviously, and have been a PT for 11 years, I think. And I tend to say now that I specialize in rehab. And I tend to get those difficult clients, or not, difficult maybe isn't unkind, but clients who need that extra level of knowledge of how to really help them get back from injury or surgery or niggles.
Okay, and in terms of how does that, so how did you get from being a personal trainer, because that's quite specialist, from being a personal trainer to be that specialist? Because that's kind of more required now. Most people have issues and niggles, but basic personal training education doesn't give you that. Now, obviously, you did the biomechanics coach diploma, but you've done other things as well. So how did you find that the biomechanics coach diploma and your further training has helped you do that?
Well, to go back to even before biomechanics, at the gym I was based in, it was a massive DW up in Wrexham, and the if ever there was like a difficult, not difficult, a new member who needed maybe a bit of a gentler approach or a bit more of a mindful approach and not just blasted with exercises, they tended to send them to me. Now, I wasn't extra qualified in any way at that time, but I loved it and I had a pretty good success rate with it. And then it was a friend, well, one of the boys that I used to work with, who then recommended I did your diploma. And that then obviously gave me a load more knowledge about the body. And I then from there I started to get more and more clients who needed a little bit extra help, who were aware that they perhaps shouldn't go to just your standard PT maybe, and would need somebody with a bit more of an educated approach, and maybe from seeing me on social media and word of mouth. As soon as you help one person who has a niggle, and maybe people know that they have a bad back or a funny shoulder, and as soon as you start helping people, it just spreads. And then I just love it. I still do weight loss because it's still a goal for so many people, even though I've taken it off all of my marketing. And because I love the rehab so much, I then decided to go further down the line and do Mike Grice's movement therapy diploma, which I'm still on. But I love it.
He keeps adding things, doesn't he?
Oh my God. I joke that so I started the diploma when I was pregnant with Jasper, and Jasper is now two. And I joke that I'll still be going, and we're actually going to have Jasper's 10th birthday party at the clinic in Birmingham.
But it's great that he's he is adding things, and I mean his diploma is amazing. What I find interesting about what you said, and this is something that I'm looking at more and more, is you haven't necessarily actively marketed your skills, but it's the perception of what we do, because nobody ever asks for our certificates, do they? They don't ever ask for your insurance or your certificates. So how do we attract these different demographics, and how does that interpret into you getting those clients to stay within remit? So I'm quite interested in how you think that happened in terms of how did the transition occur? You talk about that your clients were referring their friends, oh, Katie will help because she helped me with mine. So is there not an argument to say, well, if you can help people, why would you get more education if actually you're already doing that? Is that them or is that you? How does that all piece together? Does that make sense?
So do you mean, why do I keep doing more education, or?
Yeah. Why keep doing more education if you already attracted those clients and it wasn't marketing that skill set, but you were attracting more of them? Why get more education? Why spend money and time on education for you?
Because I want to get better at it. I personally want to be the best I can be at helping people get better from injuries or niggles, non-specific things. I know I don't know everything. So there's always more to know. I find it so interesting, even just listening to tendinopathy webinars of an evening, and I spend a flipping fortune, an absolute fortune on courses.
You are a proper nerd. I listen
to my God.
Lectures in the evening.
Yeah, but then also when it was Mike and Daniel Lawrence, who does tendons, yeah. And they were like, so here's your challenge for next week. I was like, do one, I've got little children, I can't do challenges. it's just being able to have, I call them clients, I don't call them patients, who come to me quite often having seen a physio, being given some range of movement, rehab things, a few light exercises, but then there's no progression. They don't know how to do the next bit. And my absolute favourite bit is return to play.
Yeah.
So getting those people back on the court or back on the pitch or back skiing. That is my absolute dream part. I think I'm probably a frustrated S&C coach for some sort of team. I don't know. I spend a fortune. And then I've done Claire Minshall's day as well and Tim Gabbett. And yeah, I mean, I spend so much money, but my clients know that I'm right at the front of the education coming out.
And I think that comes across when you have the ability to show integrity by saying, I don't have all the answers, I don't know it all, but you know what, I've got a load of skills in this, I'm really good at this, and I really enjoy this, are you up for that? And then the client buys into that integrity rather than, oh, you've got a bad shoulder, let's do this, and that's it. And often, I think the way some professionals are trained, it's kind of an old-fashioned model. And so what we're trying to do now is to see how everything merges together through bodies like SIMSPA, educators like Mike and myself. How does it all merge together? Because personal trainers are getting an influx of injured people and they're not trained in injuries, which is that kind of missing bit, which I think what you're talking about there. I'm also keen to understand how you're coping on lockdown. Are you working or are you in a situation where you don't need to get online, or are you, have you chosen to serve clients online?
Not really. So I, because, oh, you know my family situation, so because my husband works offshore and I have two little children, I took the decision that I need to be able to look after the kids. You know, Dom, my husband, is here now, but I just think, I know he might have to go on Monday for a week, or he might, you know, when he's getting phone calls, can you go to Mexico for 6 weeks? And that's where he came back from. So I don't want to try and commit to something and then go, I'm really sorry, I can't do it. All of my clients have programs to follow. So they're all fine and sorted. They've all got programs to follow. I'm doing a weekly free Facebook Live workout. I'm part of Mike's Stronger Together class system. But that's pretty much all I'm doing. But actually, I've been then pouring a lot of energy into my social media, which my numbers are going up really nicely. But I'm not trying to generate income. Right. And I'm obviously very fortunate to be able to say, I can just wait.
Right. Okay. What in your opinion, do you think is going to happen to the industry? Do you think it's changed forever, or do you think it will just go back to normal? What's your opinion? And I know it's a difficult one, but have you thought about that?
Yeah, I have. I have, because I suppose a lot of people are now having to do online. I actually did online a few years ago, and I don't like it. I love the one-to-one interaction with people, of being there and seeing them and watching them. And I don't really think you can do that well online. But there are allegedly people making thousands of pounds a month online training. Good for them. To me, it's not personal training. I suppose it will definitely have a long-term impact and influence. Maybe a lot of people will decide they're going to stay online. I don't know, I think, is my answer.
Yeah, I think I'm in the same place, but I think long-term, it's had a good old shake of the industry. It's shaken it up.
Yeah.
And I think long-term, for a benefit, a good reason. And I think potentially down the line, what it means is that PTs have online and face-to-face, and then they have a more serviceable, wider demographic they can serve. They can have packages, they can have low-end cost is just the online piece, a video a day or whatever, subscription, but then the face-to-face. But I still believe strongly that after this, people are going to want to hug and kiss and meet up and do the face-to-face thing, probably more so. Maybe group X, I don't know. But I think there's going to be the few. And what I find interesting is all the online coaches are now having to ramp their game up. You know, it's all right going, oh, I've always been online. And I'm like, I'm a face-to-face person. But I've kind of appreciated and embraced, just because I couldn't control it, going into my weak spot, which is technology and online, which I've always said, you can't PT online, I'm like you. But you can still help people move, be motivated, do a little bit. So, just an interesting one I thought I'd ask. So in terms of, in your experience, what do you think the misconceptions are, or common misconceptions around biomechanics, the word, the science, and human movement in our industry, maybe, for personal trainers?
I still get it now that I think people still assume that I'm using computers and looking at the extrinsic and, oh, look at this angle, that's what you're doing. If you adjusted that angle, you'd, and some mathematical equation, you'd be much more efficient in this. People still talk to me as if that's what I'm doing and for performance. And so that's the sort of still the perception of what biomechanics is. And it's all on my branding, the biomechanics coach title. But when I talk to people about it now, I'm a bit more saying, I look at this and this is what I do, and it's not telling me, I'm not looking at what you're doing, it's more why. but then also ultimately saying, but then it just might be how you're built, so what does it matter? And it's the age old, so what?
Yeah, absolutely. So what do you think are common mistakes that personal trainers make about the application, if you like, posture assessment, posture and biomechanics? What are common errors do you think that are being made by, I'm being generic now and sweeping?
Yeah, that everybody has to be in the same position. Really common mistake is foot position. I see a lot, but that's how they're taught. So I get really frustrated about mistakes that personal trainers make, but at the same time, that is what they've been taught. It's not necessarily their fault. That everyone has to do movements in the same way, that we're just a complete cookie cutter mold. We've all got the same skeleton. You can't let your knees go over your toes. You're really hunched. You've got to sit up, got to have that perfect posture. So that all the time. And I see trainers in gyms, and they've obviously got somebody in for an induction or their first free session, and they've got them stood in front of the mirror and they're patting down their spine. What are you doing? What do you think you're doing? What do you think you're feeling for? What are you? I'd love to, like, and I can't hear, and I'm trying to sort of side eye and try and watch what they're doing, or they've got their hands on their shoulders and going, oh, look, can you see? Or hands on their hips. But yeah, the pat down the back of the spine is one of my favourite moves that I see people doing.
And do you think, I guess we should empathise because we are them previously, and then, like you say, we get more education, you realise actually every movement system is flawed because it's basing the measurements on norms and how many of us are normal and that side of things. So I know that you and I have that commonality, but I know looking at personal trainers, I kind of feel for them. I've always thought, well, maybe personal trainers shouldn't get insured at that point. Maybe there should be like a, you know, like the, I don't know, physio would do 2 years on an NHS post. And they are kind of mentored while they're paid and working, but still learning. And maybe there should be a level of PT that's like that. And they're below a PT who's got a level four or a, you know, a chartered status or whatever it is. Mm. So I kind of almost, I get it. And I get what you're saying, but I feel for them, and I feel for the layered education that we've, you know, you keep going through it, and there's just more layers, isn't there? No, I totally agree. Okay, can you give me an example, like maybe a case study example, without mentioning any names or anything, where you feel that the, let's say, the understanding their biomechanics, their intrinsic biomechanics, has really helped? Maybe they gave you feedback or something special that happened. Is there one you remember?
Yeah. And I still train her now. I always try and do it by how old my eldest is to work out how long I've been training her. I think about 3 or 4 years ago, a gentleman bought a pack of 10 PT sessions for his wife for Christmas, and she'd asked for them, and she'd seen my car, which I have logoed. So she'd seen my car at the gym, and so there was no extra research. She didn't know that I specialised in anything or was further educated. She saw my name, saw PT, and thought, oh, I'd like to do some personal training. He got in contact, and I did her first assessment in her kitchen, found a few like anomalies, movement areas of positive, and she said, oh, yeah, I had sleepless nights. She was sort of quite ginger in how she moved around. I think she was 52 or 53 when we started. Back pain, back hip pain. Couldn't put her shoes on in the morning, couldn't put her socks on in the morning. It was a real issue. And we talked through lots of things, did all the screens on her. And then I went through, and I think you've changed the wording now. So it's METs now, calling them? Yeah. So did some METs all around her pelvis and her spine, just got her moving, had a really lovely 90-minute assessment, built a really good rapport with her, lots of chats, that was lovely. She said she had a feeling it was going to be like osteoarthritis, but she already felt loads better, so should she cancel her doctor's appointment? I said, no, you know, obviously still go, it's fine. And then I said, right, well, you can put your shoes and socks back on now. So she sat up and put her shoes and socks back on. And then she sat up and went, what have you done? What have you done? I haven't been able to do that for over a year. And I've just put my shoes and socks on without thinking about it. And I'm pain free. What have you done? And I was just like, hi.
It's often those little life things that yeah. make it more profound rather than, yeah. you yeah. know, got bigger biceps or whatever it is. It's those little things like just putting your shoes and socks on, which is quality of yes. life, basically, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes, and the quality of life now, she sleeps, she immediately slept through the night and still does. I'm still training her once a week. She knows, and even when she feels terrible or she has done a load of gardening or something and she's like all creaky, and her husband looks at her and goes, God, are you sure you should be going to see Katie? And she always goes, Katie will make me better. You know, and I, oh, that's lovely. So, like, ego head up here. And she comes to me, and if all she needs is to get moving as opposed to, you know, doing a load of big weights, I just tinker it every time. I never go into a session with a session plan. I know my A and I know my B. But I find it completely pointless walking in on a Thursday morning at 9 a.m. with, here's your list of exercises, and they walk in like an old yeah. haggard thing, and you go, I'm very good at thinking on the spot, and we just do loads of lovely, lovely movement, METs, just getting her moving. And then she, at the end of the session, she goes, you just always make me feel better.
Yeah, and that's ultimately what they're paying you for, isn't it? Whatever
yeah. you've
got for, whether it's weight loss or putting your socks on or bigger muscles or whatever it is, ultimately yeah. feel better, more confident, isn't it?
And it's yeah, and I always have a motto in my head of try and make somebody leave you feeling better than when they arrived, regardless. So whether they're coming for, yeah, they know they need to do a big fitness testing day or whatever, but always try and make them feeling better.
Yeah, that's what personal training is. Predominantly, you're selling your time within which they should be leaving with solutions and feeling better, and that's ultimately what personal training is. But it's interesting listening to you and remembering years and years ago when we first met, and you were always the technician with loads of questions. And now the kind of like, and I know you've been through Mike's training as well, it's brilliant. But I think you've always had a special skill in your clarity of what you want to do, even when you don't know all the answers. You know, that's always been sort of something striking about you. You've always had a plan. I would always feel your confidence when I'm with you, even when you're saying, I'm not sure what to do, but we're going to do this because, do you know? I imagine your clients would feel very safe with you.
Yeah, I think so. And I get that as a lot of feedback. And even when, I have a thing where I say, if you can't explain something simply, you don't understand it.
Yeah.
Which always tickles me when you read these great big long social media posts and it's all every word under the sun. And I come away thinking, well, I've no idea what you're talking about. And I think if you can't explain it simply, you don't understand it, and trying to confuse people and make people feel stupid with big words is just your own lack of understanding or insecurity. So I do explain everything that we're doing to my clients, and like I do talk in technical terms to them, but I also come back and say, basically it's this. And then if I don't know or if I'm unsure, I'll say, right, I don't really know. This is my hypothesis. This is what we're going to try. These are the reasons why. Are you happy with that? Should we do this? And if I'm confused at any stage, I've got Mike on the end of the phone. I've got Chris Kitson on the end of the phone. I can ring you. I've got so many people that I can go, I don't know. I don't know what this is.
And I think that's being professional, professional and honest, you know, with that integrity. But yeah, it's interesting when you see these people who are really smart, but actually the intelligence doesn't necessarily translate in application. It gets confusing, and so they don't actually necessarily, for some, get the results of somebody who's just got that simple knowledge, but their application is phenomenal. And I'm the same. If I can't explain it to a layperson, then I don't understand it well enough. Even if it is slightly technical, I do teach Army Freedom with a bit of technical stuff, but no, I'm totally with you on that. Favorite recent book? Do you read books, listen to books? Are you a book nerd? Are you?
I am, but I'm a bit of a picker.
Right.
So I read a bit of a book, and then I read a bit of another book. So I have written this down, though, because... right, so one I've got on the go at the moment.
Eat Yourself Healthy.
Mm-hmm. So Eat Yourself Healthy by Dr. Megan Rossi, the gut health doctor. Because of the connection to the gut and mental health. I'm starting to follow a lot more people about the menopause on social media. And a big link to that, but also for, because I have young children, the link between their gut health and their mental health, and as they grow up and go through schooling, and especially I've got a six-year-old girl, it terrifies me the fact that she is going to be a teenager with social media and school, and I just want to know, like, I'm not a nutritionist, I have a good interest in food, but I'm not a nutritionist, but I just want to know as much as I can do to help that side of things. And my mother-in-law gave me this. Ariana Huffington?
Yes.
Right, Huffington Post. Which, first of all, I was like, is this quite offensive? She's being rude. But actually, it's really quite good. I haven't read all of it, but... I do read a lot of successful female businesswomen, and Karen Brady's Strong Woman is a brilliant book. Yeah. I love that one. And the last one I'm going to mention is Ben Fogel, Up.
Oh, right. Okay.
His journey to the top of Mount Everest is just, I cannot recommend it highly enough.
Oh, really? Is that on Audible? I'm an Audible. I've got about 73 on my wish list in Audible.
Really?
I get through about one a week, so I'm like...
Oh, wow. So, books, I like to have the paper copy. But, yeah, so it's from Ben and his wife's perspective. But it's lovely. It's quite emotional. But it's just brilliant. And I've lent it to other people, hence why I haven't got it in front of me, because I just want everyone to read it. But I listen to podcasts when I'm driving to clients more so. But they're... So sometimes professional, sometimes not.
Yes, bit of everything, bit of a mix. I'm like that. I think sometimes I want, I listen to murder mystery, stuff like that. Sometimes novels, and often business or technical stuff as well. So, okay, so what does the future hold for Katie? What is your, like, in terms of professionally, is that more education you're looking at? I know you're still doing Mike's diploma. You're probably going to be doing Mike's diploma till, like you say, another 7 years. But
yeah, I mean, at least. Well, so I've always had a real business goal of having my own fitness rehab facility. And I am just the most impatient person ever. So I want it like 3 weeks ago. But I have to, and I have finally softened on myself, because I get very angry that I haven't achieved everything that I want to, but I have two young children and my husband works offshore for ages. So that is very, very much still my ultimate goal. And I keep on teasing Mike and Dan Williams that I'm going to find a way to get them to come down and be part of my rehab facility in the lovely countryside that I live in. but I can't do all of it, can't do everything. I could really do with another me, but I have a client that I rehabbed from her ACL reconstruction, And she personality wise is, she's the opposite of me, so she ticks all the boxes of my weak skills.
Yeah.
Admin, super organized, is a real action person. I'm an ideas person, and as soon as I tell her an idea, she does it, and I'm like, oh god, right, we're doing it. Which is what I need. It's absolutely what I need. She's now qualified in sports massage, the level 3, or what's the, like the first level of sports massage. She's qualified in that, and I every other week I'm texting her saying, come on, when are you getting qualified as a PT? When are you going to do Mike's course? But I'm a big believer in the universe sort of brings you people when you're ready for things.
Yeah.
So there's a reason it hasn't happened yet. And I would quite like to finish Mike's course so I could put that on there.
One day.
I mean, yeah. The jokes, I practically live there sometimes. And if I'm on a day with a load of sort of like new people, and I was with, Chris was teaching one of the days and they couldn't get the heating to work, I was like, I'll do it.
You've been.
Yeah, pretty much.
Put the kettle on.
Yeah.
It's a bit like that. No, it's brilliant. I'm speaking to him next, actually. Last question is, where, if people are watching or listening, where could they find you if they are a personal trainer or somebody local to you in the Cotswolds,
mm-hmm.
For referral, or if they are a client listening in and they want to use your services?
So geographically, I am just 10 minutes south of Stratford-upon-Avon, and I have my own home gym set up, and I have like a leisure centre gym down the road where I train people as well. And I do actually work with personal trainers, do approach me sometimes to help them with things and practice with me whilst they're learning to train, which is fine. I love doing that. And then social media, probably the best one to find me on or contact me on is Katie Stokes Fitness on Facebook or Twitter and Instagram. I am Katie Stokes PT, and that's K-A-T-Y, not I-E.
Right. Okay. So, okay. Well, I'm going to pause the recording, say thanks to Katie. So if you hang around, we can have a chat afterwards. We'll see you on the next interview, guys.